Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
We gather to worship God,
who creates us and loves us,
who gifts us with diversity and makes us for community, who inspires children, youth, young adults, and people of all ages. Who invites us to join the struggle for wholeness and well-being for all.
And whose presence, grace, and love.
We gather to worship God.
Friends, Martin Luther King Jr. said this, He said that peace is not just some distant goal that we strive for, but rather it is the means by which we attain that goal. So let us here and now this morning practice that idea by sharing Christ's peace, by giving it away so that it might grow and spread. The peace of Christ be with you. Now give it away. Let me just turn off my mic. Peace. Peace.
You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to worship at the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, here in Stockbridge. On this day, we gather to worship God, the source of all we are and all we might be. On this day, we also pause to remember the faithful, courageous, and sacrificial actions of our brother and role model, the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Now, as we gather, and before we get too far, there is something that you should know, and that is this. You need to know that you are fully and completely welcome in this place. You are welcome if you feel like you have just come from the mountaintop, full of life, full of faith, and full of conviction. And you are welcome here if that mountaintop seems so far away, and you are full of doubt, indecision, or questions. For God is here among us, and where God is, life is. Here, we welcome people of all ages, hues, origins, beliefs, and social locations, no matter who you love, no matter what kind of body you have, for each of you are God's love song, just waiting to be sung. Friends, you are welcome. So breathe deeply, settle in, feel the warmth of friendship, and open yourself to the Spirit. Welcome to worship. I do have a couple of announcements this morning before I open it up to the community. First of all, if you are a visitor here, if you are new among us, I once again invite you to fill out this card and place it in the offering basket. We would love to have the chance to get to know you better. You need to know that if you come by this place tomorrow, you are going to find the church locked and the office empty. Tomorrow we will observe Martin Luther King Day, and so the office will be closed, although I do understand the Women's Service League will still be carrying on, and so will church council in the evening. I would ask anyone else who has an announcement for the good of the whole to come forward to the microphone so that you might be heard. What announcements do we have? Please come forward.
The children will be meeting today, and we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. Also, tomorrow at noon at 12 o'clock at the First Congregational Church in Great Barrington will be a special Martin Luther King Jr. service, and Brent will be taking part in that. So all of you come to that. That's usually quite well attended, and it's a way of getting together with our comrades in the United Church of Christ, in the Episcopal Church, in the two black churches in Great Barrington, in the people of the Quakers, and with the synagogue. So it's a way of really celebrating together. 12 o'clock, and there will be a lunch served after, a very light sandwich lunch.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise. I'm chairman of Mission in Action here at our church. And in the spirit of seeking justice and sharing power, as we just talked about, the Berkshire Human Rights Speaker Series will take place Wednesday, January 30th at Hevra of South Berkshire. And the speaker is Constitutional Attorney John Bonifaz, Director of Free Speech for People, and he will discuss the serious and direct threat to American democracy presented by the Supreme Court's Citizen United ruling. Bonifaz will present a clear case that corporations are not people with constitutional rights. This speaker series is one that we've participated in as a congregation for a number of years. So I hope you will take advantage of this great opportunity. The other thing I want to throw out there to all of you to get the wheels turning, if any of you were here when Sarah Stackhouse and her husband John Dabesh were telling about their year of mission work in South Africa and all the great things that happened during that time, they have sent us a message that their sponsoring organization, Tremendous Hearts, will be having a trip. They're sponsoring a trip to South Africa. They're hosting its first witness trip this coming summer that they would truly love to have some members of the Stockbridge Church as a part of it. A group of donors, prospective volunteers, church partners and clergy, and the Tremendous Heart board members will be traveling together to develop a deeper understanding of and deeper commitment to the work that they are doing there. And here's a short description of the trip. During the 10-day tour, we will visit township-based projects to see Tremendous Hearts volunteers at work and to meet the children and caregivers with whom they're working. We'll participate in a one-day service project, as well as visit many of Cape Town's important landmarks. In addition, we have invited thought leaders from healthcare, social services, government, and philanthropy sectors to join us at meals to provide both an historical perspective and information on the current state of affairs in South Africa. So if this is something that would excite you, something that you think that you'd love to be a part of, please be in contact with us on Mission in Action, and you know, we'll see if there's some way that we can help in making this happen.
My girls are not here today. They would have liked to have made this announcement themselves, but we have Girl Scout cookies. We have an order form here. Okay, and you're welcome to come and order some, and if you're particularly hungry, you can order Samoa. Okay?
To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual budget meeting of the church for Sunday, January 27, 2013, at 11 a.m. The business to be transacted is as follows: to act upon the budget for the fiscal year 2013. Joyce Hovey, clerk, Margaret Hornick, moderator.
Good morning. This Saturday is our second concert, Music on Main, our concert series. It's featuring Doug Schmolze and friends. It's this, the concert is called Boom and Bust, and Doug will be on vocals and guitar. Vicky True is joining us, Eric Martin on violin, and a special guest appearance by Michael Houlihan. So we're going to kick back a little bit with some Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, George Gershwin. But most importantly, when you come, bring your voices for some old-fashioned sing-along as well. So I hope to see you all Saturday. $15 suggested donation. All money goes to the music fund, the music ministry here in this church. Hope to see you there with a friend.
And now we're going to save
Wait, 4 o'clock on Saturday. 4 o'clock. Thank you.
We're going to save the best for last right now because we're going to channel our Margaret Mitchell. And we're going to channel going to Atlanta. And we have a wonderful opportunity to support our music ministry and our Evan Mack. This coming week in Atlanta, where shall I go? What shall I do? Well, I'm heading to Atlanta. and I'm heading to Atlanta with Margaret Hornick to cheer on Evan Mack, who is one of five composers, opera composers, that was chosen across this country. And he is going to be paired randomly with a librettist for an opera project, all done, a 7 to 10 minute opera in 24 hours. So we all have the chance to cheer him on and vote for his opera, because we know it's going to be the best. And it's this coming Saturday, January 26th at 7 p.m. If you have a computer, you can go to atlantaopera.org, atlantaopera.org, and you can see the performances and you can vote. It's sort of like an American Idol, only for opera composers. And we're going to be there to cheer him on, and we hope that you will get together with your friends. And Brent is trying to organize a meeting here at the church, a gathering here at the church, so that we can stream and vote for Evan. So please, let's wish him well, and think of Atlanta, and we're going to be there. So we're congratulating him ahead of time. Thank you.
Madonna's always a hard act to follow, so I'm not going to try. But Joyce mentioned that we have our annual budget meeting next Sunday, and as required by the bylaws, the financial report for the church is available. There's some right around the corner here in the JE room. There's some out in the narthex. If you feel like taking one today, please do. We will go through it next Sunday, and we will vote on the budget for 2013, and the results of 2012 are in here. So please grab a copy if you'd like one.
There is clearly much going on in the life of this church, and I hope you will take advantage of all of it. Let us continue now in worship.
The gospel lesson is from John 2, verses 1 to 11, and will be found in your pew Bible on pages 923. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May God add understanding to these words of truth.
Okay, it's time for the children's time. Any kids want to come up? Anyone who feels like a kid today can come up. One, two, three, okay. Good morning. I see some people out here I don't know very well, which makes me think they don't know all our names. Okay, so my name is Diane. You want to tell them what your name is?
My name is Bronwyn.
Good morning, Bronwyn.
Morgan.
Good morning, Morgan.
Hannah.
Good morning, Hannah. Okay, well, this morning I have a question for you. Do you think God is smart? Yeah? What makes you think that God is smart?
Because he does a lot of significant stuff in the Bible.
Does a lot of significant stuff in the Bible. That is very true. I think God is smart because she does a lot of significant stuff in the world, too. One of the most brilliant things I think that God did was give grown-ups to kids so kids would have some grown-ups to live with. Isn't that cool? So the kids all have moms or dads or grandparents or step-parents or foster parents or somebody to live with them. Now, what do you think the point of the parents is? Why do kids have parents? What do parents do for kids? They help them and give them an education. That's excellent. What else? What do your parents do for you, you guys? Hannah? Morgan? They cook for you. How about you, Hannah? They do anything with you that's fun? What do? They go swimming with you. Excellent. Well, you guys know I have a little boy named Tom. And that Tom isn't here today because he's actually driving his sister back to college. But I had Tom help me out with this one, and we agreed on the three key things that parents do for kids. The first one, the most important one, he said, you feed me. The second one is driving him around or letting him have a car so he can drive himself around. And the third thing he came up with is, you tell me to do things. Okay? Now, I have a different way of describing that. I call it encouraging him to do things. Now, do you know what encouraging means? What does encouraging mean? That's exactly right. It's giving you courage and telling you you can do this, right? So it's giving you courage to do things you think maybe you're not strong enough or brave enough to do, or maybe you're not ready to do it yet. And parents tell kids to do a lot of things, and a lot of the things they tell kids to do are things kids just don't want to do. Like, do your parents ever say, clean your room?
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate that one. Okay, but they also sometimes encourage you to do things you don't feel like you are able to do. It's too hard to do. Like, do your parents ever tell you to be really nice to someone even if that person's mean to you? Or if you tell them about mean things that happened at school, do they ever say, try hard not to be that way, try to be nice? The answer is yes. Okay. All right. It's hard to be nice to people when they aren't always nice to us. Do your parents ever say, take 150 gallons of water and turn them into wine?
No.
Okay. Well, I know you were all listening to Ronnie this morning when she was telling the story, but I'm going to recap it in a very short version. So Jesus is at this wedding with his mom. And they run out of wine. And grown-ups like to have wine at weddings. And Jesus' mom says to him, honey, they need some wine here. Can you help them out? And he says, Mom, I am not ready to do this. But she doesn't listen to him. So She knew what was best for him. I want to have a little prayer now, and I want to do it without holding hands today because I've seen so many sick kids in my office this week, okay? God, we want to thank you for giving us people to give us courage to do the right thing. And we want to ask you to help us be the kind of people that encourage others to do things that are right, even when these people think they aren't strong enough or brave enough or think that they aren't ready. Amen. Can we do the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay, I think you're off to Sunday school.
Thank you.
Friends, Martin Luther King defined faith as taking the first step, even though you don't know where the staircase may lead. It's what we do every time we give an offering. We take that first step of giving back from what we've been given. We take that first step of faith of giving to ministries of hope and justice, even if we may not be able to completely see where they lead. Friends, this morning's offering will now be given and received. God of second chances and of new life, take these gifts and bless them. Bless them that they might turn into ministries, into dreams, and into life. Take all who have gathered here and bless us too, that we may go forth from this place as beacons of your life and of your love. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11, to be found in the Pew Bible on pages 999. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. May God add understanding to these words of faith.
Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to the light of our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A wise old uncle once sat his nephew down and gave him some great advice. He said to the young man, "It's a dangerous business going out your front door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no telling where you might be swept off to." Now, those words were not a warning, but instead those words were actually a nudge for his nephew to get out that front door. The uncle saw great potential in the young nephew, and he knew that the best place to uncover that potential was not in the safety or comfort of his living room, but out in the world. That wise uncle, he was Bilbo Baggins of Bag End in the Shire. That's right, and his nephew was the young Frodo, who along with his three friends, Sam, Pippin, and Merry, would indeed go out that front door and be swept up into a great adventure in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. But bigger than that adventure, and more important than anything they would see in the world, is what they would come to see in themselves. Along the way, each of them would discover great gifts they didn't know they had. And in the midst of all the pain and difficulties of that journey, they found passions and beauties they could never imagine. They found themselves changed. They changed each other, and they changed the course of the world. But think about it. Had Frodo not gotten that nudge from his uncle, they would never have gone out that front door of theirs, and those gifts, they might have all remained hidden. The truth is, we all need a little nudge now and then. I spoke with members of my family this past week in getting ready for this sermon about some gifts or passions of theirs that they discovered thanks to a nudge from somebody else. And here's some of the things that they said. John, he told me about a nudge he got from Sarah Fix. That's right, the daughter of Ann Fix here from our congregation. Sarah kept nudging John to go out for the All-State Choir. And it took a while, but John finally gave in. And I got to tell you, John discovered the gift of singing. More importantly, in college, he joined an a cappella group where he met his greatest friends and learned all about relationship. Through his singing, John's faith opened and deepened. His heart opened, none of which might not have happened without that nudge. My youngest sister, Sarah, told me a story. She was a champion doubles player in high school and in college. She was good. But in her senior year, she got a nudge from her coach. He told her she was done playing doubles. He was making her the number one singles player on the team. She told him she didn't want to. She said, "Now is not the time. I'm good at this. I like this." But he said, "This is for the good of the team. We need you there." And she says it opened her eyes to always keep her mind on the bigger picture and the needs of the team, to pay attention to people around her. Today, she is the director of a Lutheran camp up in northern Wisconsin. And counselors from throughout the camp system all want to work at her camp. And here's why. Because they say she pays attention to them. She says, they say she focuses on them. She helps them get better. She puts them in tough spots, but always for a good reason. And Sarah would tell you, she never would have found that gift without that nudge. I know I wouldn't be here in this pulpit without many nudges from people in my life, nudges that finally sent me out my own front door and on a great adventure, where I discovered some gifts I never knew existed either. Truth is, we all need a nudge from time to time. If you listen to Ronnie or to Diane, you know that even Jesus needed a nudge to start his ministry. Last week, we read from the Gospel of Luke, and there we read about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River. But this week, we're in the Gospel of John. And you know what? There is no baptism of Jesus in John's Gospel. There is no tearing of the heavens, no dove. There is no announcement from God as to just who Jesus is. Instead, Jesus' ministry begins, and his sign comes here in the midst of turning just about 150 gallons of water into wine. Must have been some wedding. And you notice, it only happened because Jesus was nudged, and he was nudged big time, from someone who loved him greatly and someone who knew his potential, his mom. Jesus knew how dangerous his own road would be, and he needed a nudge to get it started. Think back. He says, "It's not yet my time. Give me just a little bit longer, Mom. Come on." But Mary would have none of it. She nudged him right out that front door, and the road swept Jesus forward quite quickly. In John's gospel, the very next thing that happens after that wedding was that Jesus would go to the temple, he would make himself a cord of whips, and he would drive out the money changers. The road led him forward, and we know how his story ended. NPR commentator Juan Williams tells the story this way. He tells the story of how a young black minister moved with his family, a wife, a child, and a baby on the way to Montgomery, Alabama, to head up the Dexter Baptist Church. This young minister was only 24 years old at the time, and he was finishing his work on his doctorate. He had a new church, a new town, a young family, and many responsibilities. And then Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus. Now, the other pastors of Montgomery knew that something needed to be done. They wanted to organize a meeting, a rally, and they needed someone to lead it. And they decided that the best person would be the new guy in town. Mm-hmm. Now, not only was that minister gifted, charismatic, and incredibly intelligent, because he was new in town, he hadn't made any enemies yet. He hadn't done anything all that controversial just yet. And so they approached him. And here's what Martin Luther King Jr. said back to them. He said, "I would love to help. I really would. But this is not the time. Give me some time to get settled in. I have a new wife. I have a baby. And I'm working night and day on my dissertation and leading this new church. My hour," King said, "it has not yet come." And so you know what those other ministers did? They called up members of King's congregation. They told them how important this rally was and how important it was that King be involved. So each of them, they called King. They stopped by King's manse. They let him know just how important this was. They nudged King until he finally decided to step out his own front door and get swept away down the street, finding and sharing gifts the likes of which this world has rarely seen. And you and I know how his story went as well. King got to the top of the mountaintop, as we heard this morning, and it changed him. But even more, all those gifts he found changed everyone around him. King inspired the city of Montgomery to engage in that bus boycott. He inspired marches from which the civil rights movement took off. He inspired a nation, if not the world, to rethink what justice and equality really means. And today, I hope we remember just how much he changed the church. He used the pulpit and his faith to radically challenge clergy and members of the congregation to rethink our role in how we respond to God's call to fight injustice, cruelty, or hatred wherever they are found. Our own Max Stackhouse was in seminary during King's active years, and I asked him about that time, and here's what he said. He said it's hard to overestimate the influence that King had on the ecumenically minded ministers to be. Few of us, Max said, wanted the church to become partisan agents or to tell the congregation how to vote. But he said King's gifts compelled them to stand up and to speak out on ethical issues that threatened the well-being of the people and of society as a whole. Max says that on this weekend, we would honor King most of all if we think together about how we can become agents in the struggles for justice, guides on the path to peace, protectors of the human rights of people around the world. And King's journey might never have happened without those nudges from his congregants. The encouragement to do something that ended up being very dangerous, to walk out his front door never knowing where the road will lead. Friends, today we are not called just to remember King's gifts. But Paul tells us we're supposed to think about our own. You and I, we may not have the magnitude of the gifts Jesus enjoyed or those that King employed. But in our epistle reading today, if you listened to Ronnie, the Apostle Paul says that that is not the point at all. In his letter to the Corinthians, he says that each of us, every one of us, have gifts that God has called us to use, and they all matter, whether they are big or whether they are small. When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, that church was at a crossroads. They were trying to decide what road to take, what signs to follow, and they as a church were arguing about which gifts were most important, which gifts to pay attention to. And so Paul answered them, and he said, all of them. He reminded them and us that we need, that this church needs, that the whole world needs, each and every one of us, to walk out our own front doors, get swept down the road, discover our gifts, and put them to use. Paul is adamant on this point. He says it is not important how grand or glorious your gifts are. Rather, what is important is your fidelity and faithfulness to seeing them through. It is not important how grand your gifts are, but instead that we put them into service to uplift the church and the world. Our reading today, friends, is a nudge from the Apostle Paul for us to walk out these doors of this church and get swept down the road, even if we don't know where it will take us. I think that the best thing we could do today to honor both God and the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. is to do just that. Head out the door, find our gifts, and maybe even change the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, please be seated. As always, we come before God and open our hearts in prayer. As we do so, we also share the joys and concerns of this community so that we may take those prayers with us in the week to come. What joys and concerns are on your minds this morning? James's niece, and what's her name? Lynn, gave birth to a boy, and what's his name? Tyler. And when was this? On Friday night. A good joy indeed. We keep Lynn and Tyler and the whole family in our prayers. Other joys and concerns this morning. We keep David in our prayers again this morning. Marco? We keep Marco in our prayers this morning. Prayers of encouragement for Marco.
Yeah. My daughter finally got a job, so that's good.
We give thanks for new jobs. Yes. We pray for your mother, we pray for Ben and his artwork, and we pray for all those who are not in church and maybe just need a little nudge to get here. I also lift this morning Ron Hanf in our prayers this morning. He is in New York this weekend, down for memorial service for a dear and close friend. So we wish prayers on his journey and his time there. I also would lift up to you Helen Hafner. She is my stepfather's mother, the last of my grandparents, and she passed away this past week at the wonderful age of 99. So my prayers go out to my stepfather and to all our family. Any other prayers this morning? All right. Yes, I'm sorry. In case you don't know what Ted's talking about, there are some pine trees that are leaning over the manse, and we're going to take them down before a wind brings them down. So we pray for them to be able to do that without trouble tomorrow. Yes. We lift up both President Obama, Vice President Biden, and we lift up the peaceful transfer of power. We lift up the joy of many new babies here and the twins, your grandchildren. We keep them in our thoughts and prayers this week. I'm sorry, I did not hear you. We keep you in our thoughts and prayers, in all the anxiety and the difficult of waiting for blood tests and news. Our prayers, and we are with you in that time. We lift up a prayer for all those who need to learn how to love themselves and let themselves be loved. Friends, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Today, we use a beautiful prayer from Maya Angelou. I hope you keep all those prayers in your mind as you hear these words. Let us pray. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we are able to celebrate you and our families and our friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, you, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to all the world that which we need most. Peace. Amen. Friends, our time of worship here in this place is drawing to a close, that our worship of God beyond these walls might begin anew. I have a couple of invitations for you to take with you as you leave this room. First, I hope that you will go from this room to that room, which is where we will have a time of food and fellowship immediately following worship. I've seen the food. It looks great. And this is a chance also for you to wish Evan well on his trip. And then I do invite you, if you are around, to come tomorrow at noon at the First Congregational Church down in Great Barrington for the interfaith worship service in honor of Martin Luther King Day. Now, rise to your feet and let us sing our way out of here.
Friends, Jesus said, you ought to always pray and not to faint. Sisters and brothers, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but for power equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle. You will be the miracle. Every day, you will wonder at yourself and the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God. Friends, go in peace to love and to serve God. And let the church say, Amen.
So listen, this is the anthem of the Sunday, so it's up here if you need it. Basically,